what about Israelis accused of crimes against Palestinians? Like, what kind of justice do they face?
There's almost a mirror image, right? So what you see is a government that's bringing in the death penalty for Palestinians. And for Israelis who kill Palestinians, effectively total impunity. There has not been an Israeli indicted for killing a Palestinian civilian in the occupied West Bank this decade. The last death of a Palestinian civilian that led to an Israeli being indicted was in 2019.
Wow.
Since then, we've had, according to UN figures, over 1,500 Palestinians have been killed. And, you know, that includes shootings that have been captured on camera. You know, in one case, one of the victims videoed his own murder.
You're watching Israeli settler Yunon Levy harassing Palestinians with a gun in his hand. Filming the assault is Palestinian activist Auda Hadalin, who is unaware that he's about to capture his final moments. Auda collapses. His phone continues recording as he takes his final breaths.
Auda was a father. There's been not a single indictment. Some people have been arrested, but then they're either released again or the case hasn't proceeded to charges. So, you know, what message does that send? Being arrested, but then never charged?
And is anyone in Israel speaking out about this kind of impunity?
We've seen increasingly senior figures speaking out, particularly about impunity for violence by settlers in the occupied West Bank. You know, a lot of our reporting, we've focused on the way the lines between the army and civilians are blurred in the occupied West Bank. And I think there's a lot of the establishment figures who have been critical would like to make a clear distinction. But I spoke to Ehud Olmert a couple of months ago, who is the former prime minister of Israel. You know, I think one of the things that to me was most important about what Olmert said, you know, and it, to be clear, he was speaking specifically about violence by Israeli settler civilians in the occupied West Bank against Palestinians, not about all violence. But he called for an ICC intervention to save Palestinians and Israelis. This isn't just about protecting Palestinians from Israeli violence. It's also about, you know, in his view, about protecting Israel and Israel's future as a democratic state with a functioning legal system. He sees this intervention as vital for both Palestinians and Israelis.
And what about, we talked about the military courts, what about IDF personnel who might have been involved in war crimes in Gaza, for instance? There have been, I think, some investigations into very highly publicized events that happened during the war in Gaza. Has there been any attempt to also investigate any crimes committed by IDF soldiers?
I mean, it depends what you mean by investigation, right? These are internal military investigations. There have not been any criminal investigations that I'm aware of. Even the very high-profile ones that have involved, for instance, the killing of international aid workers like the World Central Kitchen, the documented killing of medical staff, a group of Palestinian Red Crescent workers who were in their ambulances. Video showed that they were in their ambulances answering a call. Israel initially tried to say that they were not, didn't have their lights on and things. The punishments that have been handed down have been administrative and within the military justice systems. They've been put in prison, military prison, for a few days, but there hasn't been any criminal proceedings.
So this glaring disparity that you've just laid out between the treatment of Palestinians accused of crimes against Israelis and the treatment of Jewish Israelis accused of crimes against Palestinians, is that a problem for people in Israel? Is that something that the general population are aware of and have a problem with?
I mean, that's an interesting question. And when you say accused, that's even part of the problem, right? Because nobody's being accused in a court of law or by the legal system. And that is something that seems to have pretty majority support. So perhaps the most high profile case inside Israel since October 7th involving Israeli violence against Palestinians was a alleged violent rape of a Palestinian detainee in a military prison called Sadeh Tayman in 2024. The attack, which medical records showed included a rape, was caught on camera. So there's video footage of it. And it came to light, it was brought to the attention of the military prosecutor by medical whistleblowers. So when this man was taken to hospital with horrific injuries, doctors in the hospital reported to police that he'd been a victim of a terrible assault. So it was something that was, you know, brought to light within the Israeli system. The military advocate general, who's like the chief prosecutor, then launched a case against these soldiers for assault. And when they were arrested, it prompted mass demonstrations. We saw crowds of people, including members of the Knesset, storming military bases, not motivated by horror at this violent attack, but motivated by anger that soldiers had been detained. One of the members of Knesset said openly, you know, asked if it's permitted to rape a detainee, and they said if that person is a Nukba, a member of the elite Hamas force, which sort of led the October 7th attack, anything is permitted. The case was eventually dropped over a year later, and when it was dropped, Netanyahu welcomed the end of, quote, a blood libel. So this attempt to prosecute a very high-profile, very well-documented case of abuse was essentially attacked by the Prime Minister.
We've talked about the passing of these two new laws in the last couple of months, but I'm thinking that for Palestinians in the future, what will be the impact for them, especially of this death penalty law?
This new legislation for Palestinians in the West Bank in particular is immediately and personally terrifying. You know, this is a law that effectively has a mandatory death sentence. And not just that, but, you know, in military courts, which have at the moment a 97% conviction rate. And I think that in itself tells you something about the type of justice that's being dispensed there. You know, there just aren't credible courts in the world that have that kind of conviction rate if you're following a process of real justice. So, you know, 97% conviction rate, if you're taken into one of those courts on a charge that carries the death penalty, there's a very, very high likelihood that you're going to be found guilty and executed within 90 days. So, you know, I think it entrenches a racist system of double standards. And Palestinians feel that the world is standing by as that happens.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Annie.
And that's it for today. My thanks to Emma Graham-Harrison, and you can read all of her reporting at theguardian.com. This episode was produced by Eleanor Biggs and presented by me, Annie Kelly. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo, and the executive producer was Sammy Kent.